Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for another wonderful day. Because none of us can add a single day to our lives. You are the one who has kept us alive and well. Therefore, we bring our thanksgiving before you this morning. And we say, Lord Jesus, accept our thanks in the mighty name of Jesus. Our Father and our God, we are about to start the service for this morning. Like we take our vehicles for servicing so that they might be renewed and function properly. So also we bring our spirit man and we bring our physical being before you this morning. Service us this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Refresh us, remold us, redirect us. In the mighty name of Jesus. May all that we do this morning be done according to the leading of your spirit. And may we please you in every of our undertaking today. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' wonderful mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. We are looking at the meat offering. The meat offering is what we are looking at this morning. Remember, we've been doing some series now that covers the building of the tabernacle, the ordaining of the priests, the erection of the tabernacle, making sacrifices. And this morning, we are looking at another aspect of the sacrifice that God expected the children of Israel to make. And this one is titled the meat offering. The meat offering. And like I've told us before, the reason we are looking at some of these things is for us to be able, one, when we read our Bibles, we have a better understanding of some of the things that occurred in the Old Testament. Because in Hebrews, the Bible says they are a foreshadow of the things to come. And so we can now see how they relate to the current dispensation. Two, it's going to help us in worshiping God. Because you find out that the principles of God has not changed. It is the same principle. But what God has done is to provide a means to fulfilling some of these requirements. But he has not changed his principle. So it is important that we are well aware of what God expects of us. The other thing that I want us to also be aware is that I have discovered that a lot of times people do what they do because of lack of knowledge. So when we have knowledge, it helps us to worship God the right way. Not only worship Him the right way, it helps us to also teach other people to worship Him. So this morning, as we look at the meat offering, I believe that God will say something to you and He will say something to me in Jesus' name. Our memory verse is taken from the book of Leviticus, chapter 2, verse 13. Is on the bulletin here. And we can read it together. Leviticus chapter 2 verse 13. Let's go. And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thy offering thou shalt offer salt. Praise the Lord. Let's take it again. Leviticus chapter 2 verse 13. And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thy offering thou shalt offer salt. Amen. When I was preparing for this Sunday school and I got to this point and looked at it, one of the things that quickly came to mind is some of the things that have been repeated in this series. The first thing that God repeated in this series very often is that the sacrifice we are bringing must be without what? Blemish. That everything we offer must be the perfect one. And then when I read this morning, when I was preparing for this, it talked about their meat offering being salted. In other words, they needed to put salt. And I found out that some of us here may not really appreciate what I'm going to talk about now, because we've got fridges. So because we've got fridges, we preserve the things we have by putting them in the refrigerator. Some of us have lived in places where there are no fridges. What do we use for preservation? We use salt. You see, by the time you put salt into something and you salt it very well, it is difficult for germs to live there. How many of us have heard of the Dead Sea? What is the problem with the Dead Sea? Why is it a Dead Sea? Yes, it's because of the level of salt in there. There's so much salt that plants and animals cannot grow there. Nothing can live there because it has so much salt. So what God is basically telling them to do is, as part of something without blemish, to salt their offering. It will kill every germ. It will kill every, impurity there. So it is preserved. So you are offering something without blemish to God. Secondly, what happens to salt? What does it do? It gives taste. Exactly, it gives taste. In other words, we don't just offer things to God blandly. We don't offer things to God morosely. We offer things to God. That is why King David, he was a man after God's own heart. Everything that God would do, David would do for God, what will he do? With singing, with dancing. He will go the extra mile in pleasing God. God wants us to go the extra mile in pleasing him. So it has to be tasty. It has to be the best possible. And God emphasized it, that they must not forget to put salt. It's so important. You must not forget to put salt. So it must be well preserved, not half smelling, not the one that has been, molded or something. Then it must be tasty, it must be nice, it must be good, it must be the best of the stock. Let's quickly read from Leviticus chapter 2, 1 to 16. I want a fast reader to read that. Leviticus 2, 1 to 16. Then somebody will read Leviticus 6, 14 to 23. So I want a fast reader to read loudly. If you need the help of a mic, we'll give you one. Praise the Lord. Let me quickly make three comments there. Some of the comments I've made before. The first one is that God gave specific and very clear instruction, like we've discussed before. So God did not just leave them to flounder around, but he actually gave them specific instruction. In other words, things have to be done in a particular way to be acceptable unto the Lord. Secondly, it's not just salt that God talked about here. Frankincense. What is frankincense? Yes. So it's not just an offering like that. Like I said, it's not something bland. Not only does it taste nice, but it smells nice. Because the best belongs to our God. He deserves the best. The other thing, the third thing that I want to talk about is the fact that it is by fire. Remember that the meat offering we are talking about here is not meat in this real sense, not flesh. We're talking about, you know, things baked, you know, things like that. Yeah, flour, bread, and all those things that you bring before God to offer. But God said they have to be, that portion that's being offered to him has to be burnt. And do you know what? One of the things that God just spoke to my heart as we're looking at this is to actually say, do we still offer sacrifice to God by fire these days? Do we? No, we don't. Do we? Amen. But it says that when thou passest through the fire, it will not burn you. When you pass through the waters, it will not overflow you. So which means we still pass through fire. So the kind of sacrifice that we make unto God is the kind of fire that refines us. Some of the things you suffer for the sake of the gospel is a kind of fire. That is a sacrifice. When you get roasted by the fire of tribulations, that is what makes us more like Christ. That's what actually makes us sacrifice. Remember, it says our body is a living sacrifice. So we still pass through fire, don't we? But some people pass through fire. Theirs is not sacrifice because it's not done for Jesus. But when you pass through fire for the sake of Jesus, it's a sacrifice. It becomes holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's quickly look at Leviticus 6, 14 to
23. Made by the sin offering, and as the trespass of offering, all the males among the children of Aaron shall eat of it. It shall be a statute forever in your generations, concerning the offerings of the Lord made by fire. Everyone that touches them shall be holy. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this is the offering of Aaron and of his sons, which they shall offer unto the Lord in the day when he is anointed. The tenth part of what ever of fire flour for a meat offering perpetual half of it in the morning and half thereof at night. In a pan it shall be made with oil, and when it is bacon, thou shalt bring it in. And the bacon pieces of meat offering shalt thou offer for a sweet savour unto the Lord. And the priest of his sons that is anointed in his stead shall offer it. It is a statue forever unto the Lord. It shall be wholly burnt. For every meat offering for the priest shall be wholly burnt. It shall not be eaten.
Praise the Lord. And God was even expecting the priest to offer. It's not just what the people bring. It's not just what the people bring. God is expecting that the priest that minister before him. Unfortunately, what do we have these days? Instead of the teachers of the word, instead of those of us who bring the word to the people, living the word, allowing the word, allow ourselves to have died in Christ first before we actually teach people, you find out that we are well alive in the flesh. So there is no exception. God expects that those who will minister before him, first of all, will themselves have been sacrificed. They themselves will be exuding an odor that is pleasing unto the Lord. Otherwise, we come before people, they hear the word, and some people will even profit from the word. And you that teach the word may not profit from it. So there is no exception. We are talking about the meat offering. Praise the Lord. Let's quickly go to the significance and the purpose of the meat offering. I will read from this because I'm cognizant of our time. He said, each offering that God prescribed for the children of Israel had its own purpose and significance. The meat offering was ordained to acknowledge God's provision of daily sustenance and to appreciate his gracious providence and faithfulness. Secondly, it was an expression of total dependence on God for the supply of daily food. Thirdly, it provided a poor worshiper who desired to draw near God in fellowship an opportunity to express his devotion to God at his own level. If he could not afford a heifer or lamb, at least he could sacrifice his meal of flour, either raw or baked. Fourthly, it was an avenue to dedicate the fruit of man's labor to God. So in other words, there is no excuse. I've said this before. The expectation of God from you depends on the level where God has put you. Jesus said this, to whom much is given, much is required. So in other words, if you have been the Lord for so long, God has shown you his kindness. The day you lacked, God has miraculously provided. God has shown you his kindness. The day you were sick, God had healed you. God has shown you his kindness. The day you were meant to be alone, God had shown you favor, brought people your way. In other words, God has trained you by showing you how he can appear in different circumstances of your life. God expects a level of growth. He expects a level of dedication. He expects a higher level of sacrifice. God is not doing these things for fun. He's doing it, one, to glorify himself, two, to favor you, three, to train you. and so that you grow in grace and you learn to trust him for other things. And of course, God expects that the return in terms of your faithfulness will be bigger. You know, somebody said, it's not original to me, so I'm not going to claim it. Somebody said, and I've said it before, that Mary asked the same question that Zechariah asked. Lord, how shall this be, or how can this be? And what did Mary get? Mary got an explanation that with God nothing shall be impossible. And you see, this thing that is in you is like holy, is something. And you know, God went ahead and explained to Mary. What did Zechariah get? He became dumb because God had a higher level of expectation from him. I've done so much for you. You have seen me in action so many times, and you are still asking this. Okay, you will not speak for a while. Until the child is born, praise the Lord, we will grow in faith. I say we will grow. Whether you like it or not, you will grow. The corn, wheat, or the flour produced from it were fruits of man's diligent labor, and they must be consecrated to God. Also, the meat offering provided sustenance for the priests who ministered at the altar. This is the same reason God commanded his people to pay tithes and offerings. Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That there shall not be what? Enough? Room enough to receive it. It's still the same. The principle of God is still the same, that God expects us to still bring to the storehouse, that we still pay our tithes and give our offerings. One thing I've watched over the years is this. Praise the Lord. One thing I've noticed and watched over the years is this. For an average Christian, when our pay is very small, we will complain. The reason I'm not tithing is because it's so small. You know, if I take 10% out of it, then I will not be able to make ends meet. You know what? I've also discovered that when God promotes such a person and they start to earn big, then they will say, oh, you see, if I should take 10% out of this, it's so much that. So that we're always swinging from one end to the other. And I've discovered, if you are not going to yield, there will always be a reason why you will not yield to God. And I'm telling you, the devil will give you 101 reasons why you will not yield. And I'm telling you, if you want to find a reason why you should not come to church this morning, you will have found a reason not to come. You know? It's actually the time to sleep in. It's a time to, after all the labors of the week, after a very hectic week, you really want to rest, don't you? It's probably an excuse not to come. So, if we want an excuse, we always find one. Yes, you have enough excuse not to come. But you chose not to take that excuse. Praise the Lord. You see, that's what happens. All believers in Bible church must be faithful, giving their tithes and offering to God. Like in the meat offering, where the offerer had no portion given to him out of the sacrifice. So the whole tithe belongs to God. The tithe is at least that God is the least that God expects from New Testament believers. We have to be faithful in giving it. And when Jesus was asked about it, what did Jesus say? He said, we give it. He said, but he talked about the weighty things. He said, we must not forget to do that and this also. So Jesus never condemned or did not disapprove and did not stop the giving of tithes. It's somewhere in Matthew, I think, 23 or so. So it is very important. For us, what do we use our tithes for? Oh, yes. By the grace of God, we've been able to use part of the money, you know, the church has to meet some people's needs. We don't have to come and announce. You know, we've been able to meet. Thank God that I don't get paid salary. But we've been able to meet other people's needs in the church. We've been able to do things in the church. And praise God, you know, somebody decided that the windows of the church is should be his target. And in the last few weeks, we've had it broken about 3 times. And if we didn't have money, we wouldn't have been able to fix it. But thank God, we fixed it for the cost of $2,000 to put, security, this thing there. Thank God for some members of this church, though. One, we were able to get the landlord to pay half of it. Because we've told him, he said he was going to pay for the painting. So when I asked him to pay for this, he said no. And I said, but you actually said you are going to pay for the painting. So he quickly said, okay. So he paid half of it. And the member of the church, God laid in their heart. Just last week, as they were walking out, they gave $500 without anybody asking. Say, please use it to fix the window. And so the rest came from the pocket of the church. So, we need it, and I believe that we are going to have our own building very soon, in the mighty name of Jesus. So, there are things we need money for. The meat offering signifies the absolute surrender and total submission of the worshiper to God. An individual who offered the meat offering was acknowledging that God is sovereign and worthy of worship. The sacrifice itself, according to the custom of Old Testament nation, was a gift brought to God as evidence of love, obedience, and submission. In those days, if a person refused to bring presents or gift to a superior, it was evidence of rebellion and rejection of authority. Do you know, I never really knew this until I was preparing for this. Somebody quickly read 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 27. That's the only one we are going to read here. So it's actually an act of rebellion if somebody did not give a gift to the superior in those days. And even to God, I believe that if we are saying to God that we cannot share what we have with you, it's an act of, it means we are not in submission to him. That's basically what it means. It means there's an area of our lives that we are saying, you can't go. We're saying to God, you can't go. Look, I will interact with you. I will relate with you. I will serve you in this area. But in this other area, please don't come. And God does not want there to be a barrier between us and him. Can somebody read 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 27? Okay. This was King Saul when God asked that he be anointed king. The Bible, let me read from the Amplified Version what the way the Bible described them, those who will not pay homage to him and give present. He said, but some worthless fellows said, how can this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no gift. But he held his peace and was as if deaf. So he pretended as if he did not see them. So, please, let's bring our gift to the Lord. First of all, is the gift of our hearts. After we have Because in, is it not in Joel? He said, render your hearts. First of all, we render our hearts to him, and then everything else will flow on from there. The simplicity of the meat offering is also significant. It agrees with the New Testament injunction that Christian giving should be done in simplicity. That's in Romans 12, verse 8. When we are giving an offering to God, we must avoid all forms of pride, ostentation, or attention seeking. Giving to God is an act of worship, and it must be done in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verse 24. He said, for God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So in other words, if God has given you or blessed you, and some of us are giving 50 cents as offering, maybe because we don't have as much as you, and God has blessed you, and to a point that you are giving $100, $500 offering, the Bible is saying, or what we are learning this morning, is that you don't have to, you know, let people see that this is what I'm giving. No. It's between you and God. Give it, and the Lord will bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Any questions? Any comments? Any questions, comment? Hopefully we are seeing the relationship between things that are in the Old Testament and the things that are in the New Testament, and some of the things we do today, or what the things we practice as children of God in this dispensation. So I expect that we ask questions, and I expect that we comment. You know? No, it's true, because some of these things, we actually struggle with them. We do. So let's ask questions. That's why it's Sunday school. That's why it's not sermon. If it's a sermon, I'm not going to ask you to ask questions. I just tell you what God wants me to tell you, and that's all.
This last part we say here, from this we learn God wants us to be orderly and obedient to his instructions as we seek to worship him. We must not substitute his will with our own idea. Was it Saul? When he took the plunder from the people.
The Amalekites.
Yeah, and instead of obeying, he made sacrifices, and then someone came to him and said obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yeah, that's someone, yes. Yep. So our sister is reminding us of the story of Saul. When God said, go and destroy the Amalekites completely. And Saul did what? He preserved the ones that he felt were so nice, so wonderful. I think I told us how many weeks ago. I said there are some things that make rational sense, but they do not make spiritual sense. You see, when things make rational sense to us, that is when we tend to substitute rational sense with spiritual sense. And the problem is this, is that spiritual sense may not be understandable to us. And so when it does not make rational sense, we tend to substitute our will with God's will, because it's spiritual sense. How can all these beautiful things, look at all the beautiful, you know, gold, houses, chariots, what about the sheep? What about these horses? They will be good for racing. No. It's not good to destroy this one. No, God must have been mistaken. Maybe I didn't hear properly. This horse is a thoroughbred. This one will be wonderful for racing. Then I can beat all the kings around me, you know. So we start to calculate, we start to permutate, we start to, you know, weigh, we start to find ways and means around it. We are really very clever. And that is when we tend to substitute our will for God's will. You will not substitute your will for God's will in Jesus' name. Because the Bible says to obey is what? Is better than sacrifice. Any other comments? Questions? It's Sunday school. Let's ask questions. Let's comment. No, it's true. What you say may encourage somebody else. Because if I talk, somebody may say, because he's the pastor, that's why. You know, and dismiss it like that. But I'm telling you, when you share your experience or somebody may also be in the same situation as yourself, wanting clarification. So then we know that we are not alone. Some of the things we are contending with, they are unique. I mean, not peculiar to us, but it cuts across. How do I know this? Because the Bible tells me so. He said, even those who went before, they have gone through what you are going through. And so, it's not peculiar to you. So, you may want to just keep quiet because you think it's peculiar to you. And I'm telling you, it's not peculiar to you. So, we can bring things to the open. We can ask questions. Yes.
My question is on the significance of salt. We've been taught that the word water signifies the word and oil signifies the anointing. So what does salt signify?
Praise the Lord. I mean, I've tried to look at it. I mean, the Bible says we are the salt of the earth. And in other words, the Bible says we need to salt the earth. In other words, we need to preserve the earth. There's a tendency that if you and I are not there, if there are no Christians, who is going to lead the way? It says we are the light. We are the salt. We are the one who signify the presence of God. We bring down the kingdom of God. We bring down the glory of God. Which means everything else, remember, everything else is worthless without the presence of God. But when you bring the presence of God into a thing or into something, it becomes worthwhile. And that which is worthwhile is that which is not destroyed. And so, because of your prayer, because of my prayer, because of the things we will do, remember that God will have preserved Sodom and Gomorrah. Because of what? Because of the righteous. Until the righteous left there. And that was the salt that was preserving them. Once that salt was removed, they were destined for destruction. So, salt is a preservative. Salt is a preservative. So, wherever you have a child of God, the child of God should be the one holding forth, should be the one interceding, should be the one ensuring that things are working well according to the counsel of God. Because that is the role of the salt. It brings taste. It makes it acceptable to God. You know, otherwise it will have been bland. But with your presence there, that is why wherever we find ourselves, we have to make sure we are actually the salt. We are the one who bring taste to that place, to that environment, to that thing that is being done. Praise the Lord. Yes.
In Matthew 5:13, where Jesus talks about the salt, he says, "You are salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how can it be seasoned?"
How can it be seasoned? Yes, if we lose our role, if we ourselves, who are meant to be the salt, preservative, and bring godliness to the world, if we lose it ourselves, the world becomes worthless. So you and I, we season the earth. Praise the Lord. You will not lose your taste in the mighty name of Jesus. Any other question or comments? I expect questions even about tithes. an offering. We're talking about the meat offering. Ask questions. Okay. Praise the Lord. We have heard the word. Somebody said to me, he said, as a pastor, what do you do? He said, you are the postman. You are the postman. You just carry the message to the doorpost. I'm not responsible for the content of the letter. I brought it to your doorpost. You can do what you like with it. Praise the Lord. But the Lord will help you to use the content rightly in Jesus' name. Can we just rise on our feet and we'll pray. I think if we just take one prayer point this morning, it should be enough. Let's just ask God this morning that as the salt of the earth, that we will not lose our taste. In the mighty name of Jesus, I want you to pray. Just ask that as the salt of the earth, you will not lose your taste. Wherever you are, you become a salt to the earth. That you will never lose your taste. You will play your role. You will be timely in your actions. You'll be timely in your worship. You'll be timely in all that you do. And you will do everything according to the counsel and the will of God. Ask that you will never lose your salt. Father, I just pray that I will never lose my salt. My testimony will not be a thing of the past. Lord, I will have a testimony before your people. And I will have a testimony before your throne. Lord Jesus, you preserve, you are the one who can preserve every salt. You will even preserve me. That I will continue to salt the earth. So will your people be, that they will continue to salt the earth. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And Father, we thank you for your word. We know that every word you have sent forth is meant to achieve something in the lives of your people. And we know that this word that we have spoken this morning will not return to you void, but they will accomplish much in the lives of the people this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you as you give us new grace to be obedient to your word, as you give us new grace to surrender ourselves to you willingly. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.